The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John. A crowd said to Jesus, "What sign can you do so that we may see and believe in you? What can you do? Our ancestors ate manna in the desert, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat." So Jesus said to them, "Amen, amen, I say to you, it's not Moses who gave you bread from heaven. My Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." So they said to Jesus, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never hunger. Whoever believes in me will never thirst." The Gospel of the Lord. Today we are in the fourth day of the second octave of Easter that focuses on how we live together with the risen Jesus every day through the gift of the Holy Eucharist. Today's passage finishes directly upon yesterday, in which Jesus says, "This is the work of God, that you may believe in the one whom he sent." All about faith. And so the crowd said to Jesus, "What sign can you do so that we can have faith?" We remember this crowd had just either come on boats or come by foot all along the northern side of the Sea of Galilee. They had eaten the multiplication of the loaves and fish, which is an extraordinary sign of God's power. What sign can you do? They were meeting him there in Capernaum, where Jesus had worked so many of his miracles already, the healing of the paralyzed man, stretching out of the man with the withered hand, the healing of the centurion's son. What sign can you do? Then they pointed to the sign. We talk about it every Lent. If you did your homework yesterday and read St. Stephen, you would have seen that St. Stephen even mentions it. The sign is what Deuteronomy 18:15 had given indication would come, that there would be another prophet like Moses who would come after. And just like Moses, who worked that miracle of the manna in the desert for 40 years. So the sign of that prophet would build on Moses' sign. So that's why they bring this up out of all possible signs. "Our ancestors ate manna in the desert," is written, "that he gave them bread from heaven to eat." So they were looking for that sign. And they were moved somewhat by the Holy Spirit to ask for it, because that's precisely what Jesus himself wanted to give. Swearing an oath, "Amen, amen, I say to you, it wasn't Moses who gave you bread from heaven, it was my Father who gave you the true bread from heaven." And then he describes what that true manna is. "For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. And I am that living bread." Jesus comes as nourishment to give life to the world so that we will never hunger and never thirst. Those promises are extraordinary. First, that we will receive life from consuming this heavenly manna. We draw our life from Jesus in the Eucharist. Again, he's not talking about bios there, biological life, physical life. He's talking about zoe is the word, which means supernatural life. That's where we get our life. When we come to him, we will never hunger. Sure, we're going to have hunger pains with regard to bios, but with zoe, we will experience not just satiation, but overflowing. When we really meet him at the level with which he wants to meet us, we recognize he constantly goes beyond what we could imagine, that he actually becomes our nourishment for the soul because he didn't deem anything else worthy. Whoever believes in me will never thirst. If we really believe in him and we recognize that he comes and we trust in what he does, our deepest desires will already be fulfilled. But what can happen to us happened to the Jews. They started to get bored with this wretched food. They didn't think it was enough. So they began to complain. That's where they got some quail at night. Sometimes, too, we can be looking for some other type of nourishment. We can go through the motions, not really receiving Holy Communion in depth, but just at a superficial level. And that's why we can say, what I really need is X, or what I really need is Y, what I really need is Z. Because when push comes to shove, we believe that we need something more than what God provides, that we need someone more than God. It's one of the reasons why we have this Eucharistic catechesis every year, so that we could recognize that the risen Lord Jesus really is with us, so that we might not hunger, not thirst, and have the type of life he came so that we would have it in abundance. Someone who did was St. Stephen, whom we meet in today's first reading again, in his martyrdom. He's now given his long homily. He finishes, after going through salvation history, by saying to the people, the elders and the scribes, all the members of the Sanhedrin, "You stiff-necked people, uncircumcised in heart and ears, always opposing the Holy Spirit just like your ancestors." Stiff-necked people. They couldn't turn from right to left. They couldn't see what God was doing because they were laser-beamed focused on something in particular such that God couldn't move them in the least. It's a classic expression of rigidity that not even God can penetrate. Uncircumcised in heart and ears. To be circumcised basically means to be consecrated. Their heart and their ears were unconsecrated to God. They weren't dedicated to God. They weren't living in communion with God. The ears, they weren't listening to what he was saying. The heart, they weren't loving him or what he was saying or all that they were doing. St. Stephen was one who was always converting, turning with the Lord. He was one whose ears were attentive, whose heart was really on fire for the Lord. These are all signs of what happens when we're drawing our life from Jesus in the Holy Eucharist. And for St. Stephen, that was consequential. As he was being stoned, rather than crying out, which would have been a fine prayer, "Lord, save me, Lord, help me, Lord, have mercy." So one had he become with Jesus. So much was Jesus, was all that God wanted in him, the focus of his life, his real hunger and thirst, that he was able to become truly Christ-like. As he beheld him there at that moment, the same Jesus he would behold as the Lamb of God at Mass. "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Echoing Jesus' last words, which were our responsorial psalm today. And "Lord Do not hold the sin against him, echoing his first words from the cross. Our reception of Jesus in Holy Communion is meant to make us more and more like him. When I do men's conferences, and I've been doing a lot of men's conferences lately, which is a good sign that men are hungry, especially at a time in which so many churchmen have let them down with a poor example of spiritual manliness and spiritual fatherliness. I do a talk on 20 masculine virtues of Jesus. But at the end, I say, what difference does our Holy Communion make? Does it really have more of an impact than a couple aspirin on a headache? Do we become more and more like him whom we receive? We become one with him in all these virtues that were just described. Do those virtues start to become owned by us? For St. Stephen, it clearly did. He assimilated Christ's own mind on Calvary. Today, as we come to daily Mass, we remember that God has given us each day the true manna come down from heaven because he knew we needed it. This is in response to that prophetic, that unwittingly prophetic prayer, Sir, give us this bread always. It's the response to the prayer that Jesus put on our lips when he communicated to us how to turn to the Father. Give us each day our super substantial bread. Let's get ready to receive that response.